Welcome to the Construction Technology News of the Week with Jacob Dalbora and Robert Brown. From groundbreaking innovations to industry-shaking updates, this is your Construction Technology News of the Week. Join us with our guest of the week as we dig into the latest news shaping the future of construction. All right, Jacob, we just had a fantastic interview. I'm really excited for you to start this so that Robert can beat you up a little bit. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you haven't met Robert Brown, you got to go back one episode and take a listen to the interview. It was fantastic. Jacob, what do you got for us today, bud?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start off with a Forbes tech innovations opening construction worker or construction to more workers. So our good friends, Nancy Novak of Compass Data Centers and Sasha Reed of Procore, two people we know very well, talking about how technology has opened construction market to more women. I love it. It's a great article. There's actually certain things in there. Jeff, you've seen Sasha and I have done panels of women in construction, and it actually even hits on some of the things that we got questions on during those, of like how it's opened up areas for women to actually not have to be at the office at 6:30 in the morning and still be that family person, still get everything done and really get in there. The other part about it too is talks a little bit about the technology that's coming out in construction that actually allow you not to be backbreaking every day on your job, and kind of how you don't have to be the big, strong, burly, just dig in and do it every day, you know, retire by 45 because your knees hurt person, because these technology is starting to give us more and more ability to do these things on the job site. Nancy, I don't know if everybody knows, but Nancy runs a lot of innovation out of Compass Data Centers. Obviously, data centers is a huge part right now. And then Sasha's always our good old friend.
I recently talked to some project team members at Commodore Builders. They told me about their assistant superintendent spending an entire week copying from spec books into spreadsheets while their PM would lose sleep over missing something in his contracts. Does that sound familiar? Well, then they got Document Crunch. With Document Crunch's Crunch AI, they were automatically able to create project playbooks for kickoff. They were chatting with their project documents to quickly get reliable answers to questions. That superintendent isn't spending a week in her spec book, and the PM, he has the confidence of getting it right every time. And best of all, you can now find Document Crunch within Procore, right where so many of you already work. Check out this video at documentcrunch.com/contactcrew and sign up for a demo while you're there. You'll thank me for it. Yeah, and she's been a huge proponent of, you know, understanding women in the workforce, diversity in the workforce, and bringing more people in. And ultimately, I like a few things on here, like some things I learned early on that I like to share as much as I can, like a simple way to show that you're inclusive to women on your job site is have female labeled porta potties. I mean, it might sound strange, but it's simple and it's inviting. It's about having PPE that fits a female body, fits different body sizes. It's really important that you show that, right? It's the culture. It's, you know, the leadership saying we're bought in, we're headed down that road. But also, Jacob, I mean, it's not just about, for me, women. It's about all types of folks that might be have previously been physically limited to get into this industry that now can engage in the industry through a number of different ways. Currently, you know, in planning phases and BIM and VR, some of those areas. But I think really soon we're going to see, and I've been saying this, the combination of the data that we've acquired through big platforms like Procore and others, and through modeling and through construction, we're going to be able to create some robotics with AI in them that people can operate at remote locations, can operate independently, and can go beyond their skill sets and keep their bodies from wearing out, right? We want to keep the experience. We want to keep those people here in our industry for as long as we can. And that's a completely important and, you know, kind of place to go. But the other thing is offsite fabrication. I was talking to an offsite fabrication team the other day, and I said, you know, what's been the most kind of eye-opening thing that you didn't see coming when you started prefab? And he said, the diversity of the workforce I can recruit now, because they can drop their kids off at daycare. They can be here at a normal time. They can do the work. They can take a phone call if needed. They can even leave if needed to pick up a child to do whatever they need to do. And they're consistent. And now those people are now looking at our industry as a place to go and build things around us. So I love it. I think, and I love Sasha and Nancy. They're doing incredible things and out there, just like Robert's out there talking. So Robert, I'm interested in sort of your take on, the changing roles and the innovation that's allowing for more workers to make it into our world.
Well, I have two daughters that work for me. So as soon as he said that, I was like, gosh darn it, I can't get on Jacob today.
We should have started with the article. Yeah.
I can't get on him because I'm 100% so bought in to the women in the workplace, especially in our industry. There's a lot of things that, man, women can do that not so much feel that just men. I have one of my daughters, she's the drone program manager. Man, the things she does with that drone is amazing. She's very artistic with it. She knows the kind of creative shots, things like that. So, I mean, you ain't going to get no argument from me here. Sorry.
That's great. We'll give him something else. Don't worry. He's got another one for you. This one should upset everybody. No, it won't. Actually, this is a good one. Go ahead, Jacob. What do you got?
All right. I'll throw the grenade. Construction dive. The dive brief. Tech giants to invest up to $500 billion for new U.S. data centers. Yes, OpenAI, SoftBank, and Oracle will fund the creation of 10 facilities known as Stargate. So obviously this is going to come out in a few months, but this week they announced, the government announced, Trump announced with these people, the $500 billion investment of new data centers to lead AI and also crypto. It's interesting. I'm not going to get into the politics of it. There's a lot. There's a lot we could argue about. There's a lot that we could agree on. I'm just wondering, the data center market right now is already booming. It's actually leading the full construction industry and pushing it forward. How much more can it take? Or does this become the race to the moon? And now everybody puts all their money into it. Microsoft has actually already came out and said they're putting $80 billion into this as well. Like, this is, at some point scary, awesome. What do we do next? Stargate. I don't want this to be named Stargate. It just seems like it just seems like we were warned by this in the 80s and we're here now, but...
There is a little bit to that, Jacob. $500 billion, Stargate. Like, I think I saw a movie where this didn't go so hot at the end. My real question is, okay, they've invested that money. How are they going to lean into this industry and really help us source it, learn, and do better? Because we can't keep up. There's just $500 billion worth of investment. We can't fill our current job sites. We can't get things and never have been able to get projects up and in and on time and on budget and on schedule. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this differently? And what are we going to learn from it? Robert, you had to take your glasses off. This one's got you, man.
Dude, well, I don't want to get political, okay? Try not to, but... Some of the things that some of our politicians are saying, I don't think they looked in the mirror and realized what they're saying. So you've got $500 billion of building data centers that you want people to build. Where are we going to get these people to do it? We're strapped on construction sites. I'm happy that we've come up with investments, got avenues for people to work. Where are we going to get them? Everybody, I'm just saying, a lot of American people, I can tell you about black folks, a lot of them don't want to go out there and work in the element.
That's what prefab's for.
It's the one thing. It's going to have to leverage technology for every bit of that to be successful. It's mind blowing. Half the workforce is probably leaving the country, and now we're adding so much more on top of it. Think about this for a second, Jacob.
Like, think about the downstream effects. How are we going to power it? Right. So they're looking at I forget what those nuclear reactors, what the little acronym for them is, but they're looking at those. Just a little note. Somebody has to build that. If you want to add power to the power grid, somebody's got to add a power station. Like, how are we, all the downstream effects of this, how are we really going to fund that in a way that, you know, we can power them, we can do those things? Uh-oh. See, we got to.
Is this one of them?
Women in the workforce.
There you go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. If you guys don't know what that was about, that's Robert's daughter right there. I take it, right? Yeah, there we go. So yeah, man, I think the downstream effects, I don't think we're looking at it. However, $500 billion is a lot of room for us to do some things about the recruiting if they want to lean in. And, you know, this is Sam Altman and Larry Ellison, and they're, you know, smart folks. They built big things. So let's see what they can do now.
Let's see.
All right. Go ahead, Robert.
A lot of data, man. I mean, we're pushing a lot of data. I just think, boy, we need to go back to the drawing board. No.
Well, that AI thing, that's going to solve it all, right?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, all no. I'm putting my glasses back. Jacob, I thought you was the problem, Jacob. Now I know it's the other Jake on the show.
You got to listen back. I am just, now, you got to understand that was definitely sarcasm. AI is a tool, not a strategy. So we really have to figure out a strategy before we use those tools, you know? I can use a hammer to do a lot of things. I shouldn't use it for certain things. So one of them being is getting somebody to listen to me, right? I'm going to take us in a totally different direction, because this was the talk of the town in my house this week, is TikTok. And the wave and roller coaster that TikTok has been on. If you guys don't know, this is what's interesting. And again, I'm not going to get political either, but actually Trump is the one, former president, now current president. I don't know how you call that, but he actually is the one who insisted on banning it because it threatens to allow the Chinese party access to Americans' personal and proprietary information, helping them, you know, build dossiers, blackmail, conduct corporate espionage, which is a big problem. President Biden pushed it along. Then it finally went through the Supreme Court. And if you may have seen, and if you have a teenager, it shut down over the weekend. And it shut down. And when I say it was as close to Three Mile Island happening in my house as ever has happened. And here's the crazy part. So it went down. You could access it if you still have it on your phone. You can now use it again, but you can't go get it, at least last check. Now, it could be updated by the time this episode comes out, by the way. It will be in a totally different spot. But you could buy them, Jacob. You could buy a phone on eBay for $10,000 with TikTok still installed this weekend for a period of time. Just think about that for a second. Now, everybody's like, oh, Jeff, what does this have to do with construction and construction tech? One of the things I will tell you is you really do, and Robert said this well before, about not only understanding yourselves, understanding your processes and your needs before you go and really, you know, grinding through a software to test it. Understanding that software, where it's built, how it's built, the team that's building it, and sort of what they're doing with your data and what you're signing up for is really important. And, you know, again, the warning, if a product is free, TikTok, then you're the product. So you're freely doing that. There's no difference with Facebook and Meta and what they do, except that it's not a foreign national, right? It's here in our own country. So there's obviously different things here, but so it's really important to understand where these things come. Cause what if you're using something that one day you're just shut off out? So Jacob, All right, go ahead, Robert. What's up?
Hey, I'm laughing because I coach club volleyball, and in between games, the girls over there TikTok. Hell, I may win a game now.
you may actually get them to practice. Jacob, what's your thoughts on TikTok, man?
Oh, we're so screwed. oh God, the whole thing is wild. I think what it just prepares us for that we can't mentally comprehend as just an everyday person what goes on outside of our world, and the amount of information and data that happens because we live is then absolutely gathered and used. And it just doesn't, nobody thinks about it that way, but it is every day. It's being sold and it's being used, and we hit accept on every single thing. I'm no different. I don't read a damn word within any type of agreement on a app, online, you accept the cookies every single time you go onto any website now, right? Hell, people could be like, hey, you owe me your firstborn kid. I'd be like, accept, because that's what I'm just assuming it is.
I just need to see the site. I don't care.
just accept. And it's insane. I think, I don't know what we can do about it. I don't know. I mean, we go live off the grid, and that's not, we're technology people. We can't do that, right?
No, so, we can't.
Oh, they formally, so it's TikTok and then the DJI drones as well, right?
The DJI drones they're still allowed in the United States. They're still allowed to run, but I don't believe they're allowed on federal projects. And I think certain state and local governments prevent them as well.
Well, so, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I think when you're ordering them now, that they're getting caught up in customs. Yeah. And so I think if it's like one by one, I think they're kind of getting them through. But my question is, what do we have that's comparable?
That is the problem. It is somewhat an opportunity, but just like we saw with the chips, right? When we had that, we have the Chips Act, and we're trying to build those advanced manufacturing chip plants here. They're going to take 3 years. And then are they really even putting anything out for another year after that? 4 years. And that's if everything goes well. And well, we've already discussed how that works. So we know that's probably not going to happen. So it's an interesting conundrum too, because we do take a lot of this stuff and we need it. And I'm with you, Robert. Like, I don't like to get political, but I will tell you that our politics in our country, both sides, they're not really incentivized or incentivizing themselves to actually make a difference. They're just incentivizing themselves to fight with one another. It's like a really poor construction project where all we do is show up and yell at each other and then wonder why nothing's going well. It's like at some point we have to sit down and we got to work together and we got to move forward, because we got giant problems ahead of us and real needs for real people to get real stuff done.
So my daughter, that was my youngest daughter that came in, and I got three. The middle one and the youngest wouldn't work for me. Well, when we were getting ready to vote and stuff, I was laughing one day. She said, "What's so funny?" I said, "Well, how many millions of people do we have in this country?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "You know how many millions of people?" And I said, "Just think about it. That many that you thinking in your head, them the two best we got."
100%.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
I will agree with you there. Yep. we have 334 million people, and as of 2024. So I figure somewhere in there, there's
gotta be better.
Maybe shooting fish in a barrel. I think.
Hey, man, I'm here to make your Friday better, bro.
There you go.
Well, you're making it's you're, been you're a great making one. My Friday better. And listen, this is so I get to do something fun. Neither of these guys knew this was coming. And you know us here at the Content Crew, we stay involved with everything. We like to be on the cutting edge of what's going on out there in the world. And so I've been allowed, and I am the first person to see this in the public, is that our friends at Stratus are about to announce their Series B funding of $32 million. So Stratus raises $32 million in Series B funding to accelerate the future of construction technology. Okay. It's from Radian Capital. If you guys aren't familiar with Stratus, Stratus is a software platform that really enables and powers contractors with tools for prefabrication and other workflows, and actually integrates with the way that you design and the software that you use to then talk to your different machinery on your fabrication floors, do spooling, do other things like that. Really, you know, elevate fabrication shops. And it's Jake Olson and Trent Leinenbach are friends of mine that work over there. And I'm just excited for them to see this investment. I think it's a signal flag that prefabrication and offsite are really here to stay, and that amplifying them in ways that we can go beyond the tooling and into the technology is key. So I'm excited, Jacob. I mean, you know the Stratus folks.
Past few years, they're the ones leading BIM to Fab. And it's necessary. It's such a good way for even smaller companies to be able to compete as well and not need all the other big fab shops. The other thing too is it allows centralized fab shops where you're able to be a trade contractor, and you and maybe four other, you know, trade contractors in that area might use the same fab shop. But it's really cool. I hope, you know, obviously AI is everywhere. I'm sure it's on their roadmap. The next steps is how do we get these models quicker, better, without the laborious. I mean, doing coordination for 9 months, it beats people down and it causes a lot of heartache. So how do we kind of accelerate that and make it better and then get Fab going? I'm excited. I love to hear that Stratus got that. We at Viatechnic, we use it all the time for a lot of our clients. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't say congrats to Todd Libby as well, founder. Been around the scene for a very long time of Stratus. And I'm with you, man. Like, if we can now streamline the modeling process and et cetera, we can actually, you know, drive real fabrication and real change in the industry. And so I'm excited for them. And Robert, what do you think about prefab? And hey, if you guys aren't watching on YouTube, you're gonna have to check it out because Robert just put on his San Francisco cowboy hat, his Niners cowboy hat. Not the year for the Niners cowboy hat, but
true. My feelings hurt, but we actually do we participate in a little bit of prefab here, just a little bit. So especially on our commercial development stuff, on our warehouse stuff. I honestly, some of these warehouses, the Amazon warehouses are huge. I don't know how you would do it without it.
That's the key. It's table stakes. Listen, guys, this has been really, really fun. I'm excited. Robert, it's been great to meet you. Great to get your take on things. And oh, by the way, Jacob, the one thing I wanted to go back to, and you hear me talk about this forever, the true founder of the internet, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, he's a sir now, regrets everything he did when it came to how he helped create the actual internet, and has always thought about individuals becoming pods where we, instead of us giving everything out to everybody, we own our data inside and we can see who's connected and what they have access to, and we can control that. And I say this a lot, maybe someday somebody will put $500 billion into creating that so that we can go back to having privacy with incredible technology, but who knows? That was my, I forgot to come back to that. And just as I was going to let us go, I saw that and I was like, so to me, I think that's what we have to do.
Well, in 30 years, when they refer to me as the father of the digital twin, they can just say, you know, he did it right, because Jeff Sample told him this story one time about pods.
Well, if y'all want to know, somebody's probably going to feel that bad about all the LOD 500 stuff out there. So y'all said it. All this LOD, all this, yeah.
So unnecessary.
So I'm just saying, Jill, since you're saying people got regrets.
That sounds like yet another episode where we we go down the rabbit hole of LOD.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So
we'll have to get Brian and Alex on for that one, though.
All right. We'll bring them on. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Robert, Jacob, thank you. This has been a pleasure. It really made my Friday morning, although this is coming out in a couple of weeks. But I'll be dropping some more news later on today. Check me out on LinkedIn. Thank you for tuning in today for our Construction Technology News of the Week with Robert Brown and Jacob Delbora. To read all our news stories, learn about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.